episode 12 of the Landon Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
And I'm Landon's dad, Jeff. And it's a special Landon and Jeff Show. Why is it special, Landon?
Because it's my birthday.
That's right. Landon is no longer a 12-year-old. We're going to have to change the description of the show, Mike. He's now a teenager, which means this podcast will probably be the only time he talks to me all week. Because, as everyone knows, teenagers don't like to talk to their dads. Right, pal?
That's not true. I'll still talk to you.
All right. Well, thanks. Maybe you'll talk to me as we plan the podcast. But happy birthday.
There are
two gifts that you have that are Dolphins themed. So if you would like, you can open those at the end of the podcast after we make our picks, or you can just do that and report next week to everybody. But we have solved one of the mysteries as to what jersey Landon will get next. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
And I feel like we will most likely go over them next week because I don't really want to open them up right now because I'm going to open them all up later when everyone's home because not currently no
right.
one else is home.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right, Landon, it was a really tough weekend last week. I unfortunately sat and watched every painful second of the game. Mike on Sunday and Monday had some excellent things to say. But this is our chance, and really your chance, because no one has heard a teenager's perspective. God, it's weird saying that. A teenager's perspective on what's going on with the Dolphins. So give me your hot take. Just know that probably the coaches and players will be listening to this, so if you say anything mean to them, they will get mad at you when you go see them in a month when we go to a game. But give me your hot take on it, pal.
I feel like the issue with the game, and I feel like we would have won that game, if it was the same roster as it was in week one, week two. But all of the injuries and the lack of depth really messed us up for this game. And we really just weren't prepared for the Bengals. And we played good first half, don't get me wrong. And then second half, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong.
Well, yeah, definitely everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. You're way too nice. I think that this game is the end of the era. Adam Gase, thanks. Appreciate you being in South Florida. Hope you know a good realtor. Ryan Tannehill, I'm sure you're a wonderful human being. Have no questions about that. Congratulations on becoming a dad for the second time, because that's way more important than this stuff anyway. You cannot be a quarterback going forward for the Miami Dolphins next year. This whole thing just ends. Mike Tannenbaum is really the one who I would focus on, because every team in the NFL landing gets injuries. Injuries are not an excuse. The better teams are prepared and have depth. Every person who follows this team, and especially all of you guys who spend the time listening to this, know we had no depth on the offensive line going into the season. Yet we signed a 30-something-year-old guard and a 30-something-year-old center. That doesn't work out when you don't have depth. At the end of the game there, when Sam Young was being abused at tackle, and Swanson, the center, was literally hiking the ball and getting pushed back into Tannehill, that just showed how poor the depth is. Sam Young shouldn't even be on this team. That's how bad. I mean, it was embarrassing. And then to the quarterback, you take sacks. Maybe we still lose the game. You cannot throw those two fumble pick six garbage, whatever that stuff was. I mean, you wouldn't do that in youth football, Landon, let alone in the NFL. You have to know the situation of the game. You have to know that you're winning and that the worst thing you could do is turn the ball over. And the even worse thing is to turn it over where they can run it back. And that's what our quarterback, who's now 7 years experienced in this league, and the coach keeps saying that they're great and they're going to figure this all out. Well, I think we saw it figured out.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like we officially just have to start working on rebuilding. As long as the process it is, and as much as I hate saying it, I feel like there's no way out of this. There's no way with the roster we have currently, no matter who we draft, next year's team is going to be a playoff contender, let alone division winner with the Patriots in our division.
Well,
who seem
we've got to start hitting on draft picks. So look at our drafts. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, outstanding, home run. Well done, guys. You should do it when you have the ninth pick in the draft. Shouldn't make that mistake. Charles Harris, I mean, awful. He doesn't sack the quarterback. He runs near the quarterback. He gets close to the quarterback. He can say hi to the quarterback as he passes him, but he doesn't tackle him. So that's not looking real good. You know, Mike Gesicki, we haven't seen anything from, but I'm hopeful there. But a guy on the practice squad played a lot more plays than him, so what's that show? Baker looked really good. Baker, you know, maybe situationally due to size isn't going to be an every-down player, but, man, he has more sacks than Cam Wake right now, which is crazy. We have no depth on the defensive line. We have no depth on the offensive line, and we have a hole at cornerback. Yet we keep drafting player after player. And oh, by the way, we haven't drafted a quarterback in forever. That's an impact guy. So we can rebuild, Landon, but the problem is we can't rebuild with the current organizational structure we have that can't seem to draft players when we need to rebuild.
I do agree. I feel like the drafting recently has been beyond awful. I feel like we haven't had someone
great.
in the later rounds.
Mika's been great, and Baker's been great, but you can't have Charles Harris miss. You can't have Devontae Parker miss, and that's a miss. You can't have first and second round picks that are either no longer on your team like Jordan Phillips or stink on your team like Devontae Parker, and Charles Harris is heading down that road. And you just can't do that. The good teams do not miss on first and second round draft picks, and we have more misses than makes.
Even beyond that, like, I feel like we should have startable or at least decent third round picks, and we shouldn't have someone that's going to get cut before we know is going to be cut before we even make the 53.
Yeah, I mean, Cordell Tankersley, you know, they were so high on him, you know, good cornerback from Clemson, can't even beat out undrafted free agents. Like, it's ridiculous. It's just the lack of depth and talent on this team. You know, Mike said it great the other day. Our first 22, probably contending for a playoff. Our next rest of that roster, the backups that fill out the 53, not including the specialists, awful. Just awful.
And, yeah, that's what's killing us so far. And if we had a good backup, I'd say we'd be maybe 4-1.
Well, yeah, we would have won the game this week. If we had any competency at offensive line, we would have won the game. And in theory, if our quarterback didn't throw two pick sixes, and I think there were some horrendous calls by the refs that would have got us off the field multiple times that led to the Joe Mixon touchdown and then the other one towards the end of the game that were just awful. We were off the field. And I mean, TJ did not. It was not a defenseless receiver. The guy had his hand on the ball. How's that defenseless? He's trying to make a play on the football. You can't call that defenseless. That's awful. But we don't have depth, and it's just it's disgusting right now, and it's really hard to watch. And I'm terrified, Landon, as the Bears come to Florida, because how many sacks do you think Khalil Mack's going to get when he sees Sam Young over him or an injured, you know, backup guard and a backup, you know, center? I mean, I would just move Khalil Mack to wherever the holes in the line are, which and there are plenty of them, and he'll get 20 sacks. He could set the NFL record for sacks in a game.
I was about to say, I genuinely think he's going to break the NFL record for sacks in a game, because when else has a team got an opportunity up against probably the worst offensive lines in the league currently, and you have the best defensive linemen on your team? When has that ever happened? It hasn't. And the fact that it's about to happen against us is not exactly a positive thing.
And oh, by the way, they're coming off a bye week, so they're rested. So they're feeling good. They're excited. They're leaving Chicago, heading down to South Beach, about to feast on some backup offensive linemen.
And I bet they watched Ryan Tannehill throw those two interceptions as a team and just realized that they're going to have a fun day.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of Tannehill at this point? Do you think he can continue? Well, I'm not saying for this year, because Brock Osweiler's not good. Falk is out for the year. Apparently he's hurt, but I mean, there's a guy we passed on drafting five rounds and now he's our young quarterback of the future, and David Fales can't even make the active roster for games. So I mean, I get it, we're stuck with him for this year, but I'm watching a lot of college football now because I want to see who's potentially out there as a quarterback for next year. I love the kid from Oregon. He looks pretty good. There's some other ones, but we can't wait to the fifth round to draft these guys or sign them as undrafted free agents or, you know, guys who have failed multiple places. We need to actually invest in the offensive line, the defensive line, and a great quarterback.
I feel like we have to look at what's happened previously and said, hey, we pushed off drafting a quarterback in 2016. We passed up drafting a quarterback in 2017. 2018, we need to draft a quarterback. And I feel like they should or they will trade up early for a higher draft pick. That's not exactly giving up our best players, but still giving up a decent amount just to draft a quarterback, because we need someone over in Tannehill next season.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. I don't think Ryan Tannehill can be here next year. I really, really, really don't. I just don't see it happening.
I agree.
I don't think the coach should. I mean, if we keep going down the path that I'm scared we're about to go on, I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of us. It's not looking good, Landon. I feel bad. I'm kind of ruining your birthday by talking about this team.
It's not that bad.
All right.
For me, anyways.
You're still going to stay a Dolphins fan?
I will still stay a Dolphins fan.
All right. That's the most important thing, that we keep believing. And trust me, we're not, trying to throw salt in a wound, but it's really frustrating as fans to have read what people I trust who cover this team every day. I mean, they've been saying since the start of organized team activities after the draft that we're woefully thin on the line and woefully thin, at quarterback and cornerback. And suddenly, a couple weeks in and a couple injuries, McCain goes out and we have no one to play cornerback. You know, Phillips does what he does and Gase decides to get rid of him. We have no replacements on that line. We lose William Hayes, an older guy. We lose Branch. And we're playing guys off the practice squad, and we have a first-round pick from a year ago who can't sack anybody. It's beyond frustrating to see the same stuff happen again and again and again. It's like living in a time warp, Landon. It's like you're still 12, yet now you're 13, and the same stuff's happening over and over.
It's really deja vu. Deja vu.
Oh, deja vu all over again, as the great Yogi Berra once said. All right, Landon, let's look ahead to the Bears game. I think you hit it spot on last week that the key was running the ball and stopping the run. And we did that early. And when the first half of the game, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and what a great play by Jakeem Grant with that return touchdown. I just love that guy more and more each week, especially if you're getting dinged on the first play of the game. What do you think the keys are for this week against the Bears? Because I think it's a little bit different than last week.
I feel like our offensive keys is short routes if we're going to pass the ball. There's no way I see us getting someone deep enough, fast enough, before we get sacked. And maybe once or twice the entire game, we'll be able to get someone farther than 20 yards without getting sacked. But I feel like the key is short, effective routes that gain yards. And maybe give it Jakeem Grant and focus more on trick plays than doing something standard like throwing the ball deep.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to have time to throw it deep because Cleo Mack's coming. And that whole defensive line's got to be pretty excited. I think this is one of the few times where we're not facing a veteran quarterback and we should look at the tape against Sam Darnold. But, I mean, Trubisky was amazing a couple weeks ago, but he certainly hasn't shown the consistency to be great time after time. So I think we need to figure out a way to get on him and pressure him. It'd be nice if guys could actually tackle him. I would just try to make Trubisky beat you and just hope that you're good enough to stop the running game, but really, really try to make him beat you and hope that we have been the best in the NFL at picking off passes. Let's just hope we can pick them off and return them all the way for touchdowns because the offense can't do anything right now.
And I agree. I feel like this game cannot be focused on the run game. I strongly believe that their run game is not very good compared to what ours could have been and what ours should have been. And I feel like they're going to have to try and beat us with Trubisky. And I feel like it should be Trubisky versus our cornerbacks. And I feel like that's going to be the big matchup.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right for sure. All right. Well, let's go over a couple more things about this game before we get to our picks. By the way, Mike did not give you a nice birthday present. He went 2-1. We went 1-2. He's back to a 2-game lead. We'll get back to that in a little bit. And he already made his picks on his podcast that he put out earlier in the week, so you have to listen to that to get his picks. The good news is we're not picking any of the same teams, so at least we know we have a shot here to make up some ground. But we want those hats, Landon, so we got to get going here. Other things about the Bears game. How much do you think it matters that they're coming off a bye and we're coming off one of the worst losses I can ever remember?
I feel like confidence is really going to factor in, kind of like what it should have been. Or what it was it going into the Raiders game, we were confident. We just went 2-0. We just beat two considerably decent teams, and we were confident. We were all ready for this game. We were all excited for the Raiders game, and then we won. And right after that, we came off the big loss at the New England. And I feel like the kind of what happened in that game kind of transferred over with the huge flop in the game. It was kind of like the entire game wrapped into the second half against the Bengals. And then not very confident.
Yeah, but we went up 17-0. And after Grant came into the locker room after scoring that touchdown, to make the halftime deficit what it was, That should have been the stabilizer. And then the fact that they drove down and we stopped them from scoring a touchdown right away. I mean, that game should have been put away. If our quarterback doesn't throw two ridiculous, inexcusable pick sixes when all he did was take sacks, we could win that game. If that ref doesn't make the one or two really ridiculous calls, we could win that game. So I don't think the confidence was bad. I question it now because these guys will have to look at each other all week at practice and be like, wow, let's watch that film. We stunk. Like, how do you have any confidence in your quarterback if you're Kenny Stills, if you're Amendola? I mean, Amendola played with Tom Brady the last 4 years, and now he's this guy behind him? I mean, that's not really, really a confidence-building thing, I don't think.
I would agree. I don't think it is either. And I feel like watching the Bears tape and what they're like for our offense is going to be even more demoralizing, seeing what their pass rush can do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, Landon. It's so tough. So frustrating. So.
And I feel like eventually, if we draft a quarterback, well, we can be a much better team. Because our 50, or not our 53, our starting lineup, great. It's very good. It can win tons of games. Just after the death is just awful.
Yeah. Ugh, I'm so disgusted I can't even talk about it anymore, Landon. All right, should we make our picks?
We shall.
All right, well, let's do first. Let's make your prediction for Dolphins-Bears, and I'll give mine. I predicted the Bengals to win last week. I wasn't happy about it.
I'm going to predict, unfortunately, the Bears to win. I feel like they're just playing a lot better football than we are. They have one loss, and that's against the Packers, which whether or not they should have lost that game, I'm not sure. I'm not going to say. But I feel like they're just playing much, much better than us, and I'm scared of their defense. Their defense is looking 10 times better than ours, and I'm just scared to play them.
All right, so what do you think the score is?
I think the score is going to be 10 to 21.
The Bears winning?
Yes.
All right. I think the Bears are going to win too. I don't know what the score is going to be. I can't figure it out. I can't tell if we're going to both score a lot or they're just going to score a lot and we're going to score a little. But I think you have it right. That 21 to 10 kind of sounds right. So I'll agree with you, Landon. It's your birthday. I'll agree with you, okay?
Okay.
All right. So we have three picks to make. We're going to go back to you making two, me making one. So why don't you make your two picks?
So I'm going to pick against the two teams that are 1-4, and that is the Arizona Cardinals and the Raiders. So I'm going to choose the Seattle Seahawks at Oakland to beat the Raiders. And I'm choosing the Minnesota Vikings at home to beat the Cardinals.
Okay, so we have some points that we need to get there because those spreads are pretty big. But I think those are great picks. I do wonder, all these teams seem to not be, there's only a few teams that are really good. So it'll be interesting to see the team that I'm gonna stay riding the Rams. Last week was the first week they didn't cover, but they easily could have. They're playing the Broncos, and I just think that they're gonna go into Mile High and just absolutely annihilate them. I think Todd Gurley's gonna rush for a couple touchdowns. I think Goff's gonna be great, and I think that's that. So those are our picks. So review the two you picked again, Landon.
I chose the Minnesota Vikings or the Arizona Cardinals. And the Seattle Seahawks over the Oakland Raiders.
All right, so we have Minnesota, Seattle, and the Rams. We're basing ourselves in the NFC. So that's all good to know. All right, Landon, anything else you want to finish up with here before we wrap up this episode?
There is nothing I want to say.
All right, well, why don't you take us home? And everybody here, make sure you comment on the website and wish Landon a happy 13th birthday. Too bad this isn't episode number 13. That would have made sense. We should have split it up into two episodes to be able to do that.
That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah. All right. Take us home, Landon.
That has been episode 12 of the Landon Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
And I'm Landon's dad, Jeff. Let's everyone wish Landon a happy 13th birthday. And we will see you next week for the Dan Marino 13th episode of the Landon and Jeff Show. Thanks, everybody.